my privilege to introduce our guest speaker this morning, Greg Zeidler. I've known Greg for close to 15 years now, and I hope everyone gets a chance to meet him before he leaves today. If you do, you'll quickly find out that he has a deep love for our Lord and other people. So, Greg grew up on a dairy farm in eastern Minnesota and went on to study at Bethel in St. Paul. He served as a pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Monty for several years and then felt God's call to become a teacher in the public school system. So currently he's teaching first grade in Monty, where he lives with his wife, Kristen, and three daughters. So glad to have you here, Greg, and we look forward to what God has laid on your heart.
I'm going to want to come back just to be able to sing and worship with you again. Wow, praise God. You really know how to worship and praise our Lord. I appreciate Ryan sharing, and so thank you for that. And as Ryan shared, I served as pastor at Calvary Baptist in Montevideo for close to 9 years. And I understand kind of a very normal question, I think, is, what happened, right? Why did I quit? Because I didn't go on to another pastorate. We stayed continuing to live in Montevideo. And at the time, the best, the most sincere answer I could give is really just, that I was tired. I was tired. I knew I needed a break. And I, stepped away from that role as pastor without honestly knowing, in regards to job or career, what was going to happen next. But I just had a conviction that for my sake, for my family, I believed, for the sake of the people of Calvary, that I needed to step away. I needed to resign. This message, about me, but in some ways I just do want to highlight God's goodness, His faithfulness, in that God provided a job at the elementary school in Montevideo, and I've kind of continued down that path, and now God, as Ryan shared, God provided a job for me as a first grade teacher in Montevideo. I always kind of enjoy sharing how God has a sense of humor. As I was pursuing that, getting my elementary education license, people would ask me, Greg, what grade do you think you would want to teach? And at the time, I was kind of helping, kind of serving as a reading interventionist, helping, students who needed extra support in reading and in math, usually with third graders. But I did do substitute teaching in really all the different grades. And I would always answer when people asked me that question, I would always say, second grade and up. And, and very much it was God who provided me this position as a first grade teacher, and I found I've really enjoy it. As I kind of reflect back over what happened, why was I tired? What was the deal? What was going on? One truth that has become clearer to me is that I took burdens. I took weights upon myself, and I tried to carry them, that I was never meant to carry. And part of me kind of wonders, I wonder if any of you have ever done that same thing. Have you ever put responsibilities on your shoulders that were meant to be shared among others, or perhaps you took, burdens on yourself that were really, God's to hold, and you kind of, it's in some ways I feel like as I look back, in some ways I feel like at times it's like it was me like saying, God, I hear what you're saying, but God, really, Mel, I feel like I know better, I can do it, just let me take it. And one passage of scripture that God used in my life and continues to use to kind of really reorient my life, to what it is that I need to lay down and what it is that I really truly need to seek after in my life is Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And to be honest, prior to Friday, I had a different message that I was prepared to share this morning. But on Friday, as I just, continued to pray, I just had a conviction that this is what I needed to share this morning. So Matthew 6, 25 to 34, it's a portion of Scripture that is Jesus' words. He shared them with his disciples. He's sharing them with this large crowd of people. They were people from all over, Galilee, Decapolis, the Jerusalem, Judea, the region around the Jordan. They were following Jesus, and Jesus, he went up on this mountainside, and it describes, and it says how he sat down, and this group of people, they were ready to listen. To listen to what Jesus had to say. And one of my desires, my prayers in this kind of brief time is that we would listen together, that we would listen to what Jesus has to say to us today, remembering that the Word of God, it's alive and it is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. As I come to portions of Scripture, at times I like to kind of put myself in the setting. And so I picture Jesus and what it describes of him sitting up on this mountainside. And there's this mass of people gathered around. And for myself, I admit that I much prefer smaller groups of people or kind of talking one-on-one. And I kind of think of, at school, I think of the school cafeteria. And at times when I come in to like get my class, I'm just like, there's so many conversations, so much going on. It's like, there's so much, noise, so many things, being said. It's like I can't hear anything. And I just want to like kind of get out of there. And I picture Jesus seated on this mountainside and all this noise, and he begins to speak. And slowly, but surely, all the other voices, they start to come down, and I can hear only the voice of Jesus. And it's an amazing voice. And he's one who speaks with authority, for as I hear him speak, I know that the very words that he is speaking, they are true. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's a portion of Scripture often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus speaking. It's the living Word of God speaking what we have today as the written Word of God. And so I'm just going to kind of share this small portion, and yet I just would want to say, I would absolutely love if you took time, maybe today, to go and to find a quiet place and to read, those three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, and just to listen, to hear what the living Word of God, what Jesus Christ, what he has to say. We need to, at times, very much I need. And even just as I share this morning, trust me, this is a message that many, many times I've preached, I've shared with myself. I've needed to remind myself of these truths. I need to listen to Jesus. And so what does Jesus say to his disciples, to the many people as he sits on the mountainside? I'll read Jesus' words. They're recorded in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. God's word, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. While listening to these words of Jesus, what jumped out to you? What grabbed your attention? Did the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, did He teach you or remind you of anything in particular? I'm going to share some of what God has over time kind of taught me showed me. And yet I just want to say, please listen. Listen to the Spirit of Truth. Listen to the Advocate. To what is He speaking specially or especially to you this morning? In this passage, Jesus, He tells us not to worry about our life. And He tells us what are reasons that we don't need to worry about our life. And we're going to look at these reasons, and my prayer very much in doing so is that your faith would be strengthened, your faith would grow, your dependence upon Jesus would grow. But Jesus, He doesn't just tell us what not to do, right? He doesn't just say, do not worry. He tells us what to do. He tells us that what we should be seeking after, Jesus said, we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so what does that mean? And we'll talk just a little bit about that. Now, in looking at this passage, really the first observation that I notice is just how often Jesus says, do not worry. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Verse 27, can any of you by worrying add an hour to your life? Of course, the implication is that no. Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Verse 31, so do not worry. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. I guess, as I read through this and as I hear those words, I guess I'm pretty sure that Jesus really, He does not want us to worry. I've been married for over 20 years to my wife, Kristen. And one of the things that I've learned is that telling her not to worry about something doesn't really help very much. Right, our daughter, our oldest, she's graduating from high school. We got this graduation party coming up in about a month. And I've kind of learned, even I can hear myself saying it a couple times. Greg, we need to kind of plan the food and how much food do we need to order? We don't know how many people are going to. Oh, just don't worry about it. Just don't worry. I found it doesn't help a whole lot. But the wonderful thing here is that Jesus, He doesn't just say, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Now, if we kind of did a quick read, we might think that's all that Jesus is really saying here. But He gives reasons why. He tells truths that, for me, help reorient me and gives me that foundation that I need so that I can properly hear His message of do not worry and I can begin to apply that and take hold of it in my life. I'm going to share seven reasons. You may make other observations that the Holy Spirit may use to teach you or remind you. So verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? The first reason is that life is more than just food and clothes. Life is more than just the material possessions that we, hold so often, or at least I hold so often so tightly to in this life. That so often occupy our attention. In fact, our life, it's more than just the time that we're going to end up spending on this earth. Just prior to this, reading this, Jesus had talked about the priority of storing up our treasures in heaven. And we need to be reminded that our life on this earth, if we're blessed, we might end up with, 80 or 90 years or maybe less. We don't know. Or if we're blessed, maybe a few more. But there's a truth that so often we forget, I forget, is that in fact, your life, it will last for eternal years. And the truth is that if your faith is in Jesus Christ, those eternal years, they will be spent with Jesus, seeing Him face to face in paradise. Life is more just than the material, more than food and clothes. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? A second reason why not to worry is that you have a heavenly Father. You have a Father God who created the heavens and the earth, and He created you. You're not an accident. You were knit together by God in your mother's womb. Now, I know for some of us, you know, you may not have had the perfect or even necessarily a good or maybe even a present earthly father. And so sometimes it's hard to take hold of, well, why is that a good thing to have a heavenly father? But see, the third truth is that we need to remember is that you have a heavenly father who so deeply cares about you, and He will care for you. That's really the point that Jesus is describing, that He's making as He describes how He provides and cares for the birds of the air. Well, then surely if those are provided and cared for, how much more does He care for you, and how much more will He care, does He care about you? In fact, you have that Abba Father who loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to this earth as a baby, and that Jesus, right? Jesus is His name. And Jesus would die on the cross. Now, to many, that message of the cross, it's foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. There's a poem written by Elizabeth Cheney. It's called The Robin and the Sparrow. And it's kind of this little dialogue between a robin and a sparrow, and it goes like this. It says, "Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. But we do. We do." Verse 27, "Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" There's a fourth reason that Jesus gives. You gain nothing of value by worrying. I grew up on a dairy farm. We had corn, alfalfa fields, and I'm pretty sure that worrying did not produce one extra kernel of corn. It did not produce one extra bale of hay. And yet I certainly recognize as I think back that, you know, we spend a lot of time worrying about those things. But the thing is, you know, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? We don't gain anything of lasting, anything of true value by worrying. Now, Jesus, He spoke this message on that mountainside to the disciples, to the many people that were there, so that they would not be devoured by that beast that is worry and anxiety. So he's saying it to them. You know, worry and anxiety, it's nothing new. And yet one of the things that as I've kind of prepared, as I've you know, sought to get, you know, ready to share this morning, that God has just kind of reminded me is that, you know, we're continually, you know, facing new and different circumstances. As I shared, my oldest daughter, she's a senior, she's graduating, she's going to spend a year at Camp Chaminade, kind of right after college. It's the camp of the Evangelical Free Church. It's in Modley. She's going to, you know, they kind of have this year-long internship program. She'll be helping out with the program, living, working there for a year. And it's kind of interesting. Right? She's my oldest, so it's interesting having a child getting ready to leave home. It's new to me. It's a new circumstance. And at times I've experienced this worry, this anxiety starting to kind of build. And in some ways I feel like at times I've started to kind of grab, perhaps again, some of those burdens, some of those weights, and I've started to place them on my shoulders again. And in preparing today, I've been reminded that no, it's not for me to carry. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light." I always think it's so important to take time, you know, like this, to gather together. It provides an opportunity for us to hear God's eternal truths be spoken to our hearts. So why should we not care, or why should we not worry about our life? Verse 29, 28 says, Jesus continues, says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And I observe again Jesus emphasizing his care for us. But what I want to highlight here really is Jesus' words at that end of verse 30 where he says, you of little faith. That's me. How little I often depend upon God. He wants me to grow, to mature in my faith. And I think, I hear that and I go, how can I do that? And I start to think, maybe I can try harder. And I'm reminded, no. I'm reminded I can ask God for help. The fifth reason that God gives me to not worry about my life is that you can ask your Heavenly Father for help. I can ask God that I would grow in my faith, in my dependence upon Him, in my reliance on Him in all circumstances. For my daughter, as she prepares to leave our home and make her own journey, as other changes take place, as new circumstances arise, that even now I don't know exactly what they will look like. But I can grow, I can ask God for help, that He would help me to grow in my reliance upon Him. I don't have to do it on my own. Verse 31, Jesus continues, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Sixth, our Heavenly Father, He knows exactly what you need. Right? You have that Heavenly Father. You have that Heavenly Father. He cares for you and about you. And He knows exactly what you need. He's not unaware of your situation. He knows exactly what is going on, and He knows exactly what you need, even better than I do. Right? For me, He knows, right? Even what I think I need this, I think I need that. God, He knows so much better what I truly need. Continuing verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seventh reason. Each day, has just the right amount of trouble. It's not too much. But Jesus, he doesn't deny reality. It's not like he says, you're not gonna face any trials. No, there's not gonna be anything challenging along the way. How is it just the right amount? How is it enough trouble? I'm reminded of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, where God's word says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercies, they are new every morning. Just as today has a certain amount of trouble, I know that this morning I was provided with God's mercies that are sufficient for me today for the troubles that I will encounter and I will face today. God gives me exactly what I need. I can know that God's word is true, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can't do all things in my own strength. I can't do it in my own abilities, but I can do all things. I can face whatever circumstances arise through Christ who gives me strength, and His mercies are new every morning. And I know where I so often get in trouble is when I start to look to tomorrow and I see, there's that trouble coming tomorrow, and I start to worry and I start to kind of take those burdens, those weights, and I put them on myself and try to figure out how I'm gonna handle it. But see, I get in trouble because I have to remember I haven't received God's those mercies that I need for those troubles yet. Because I'm going to receive them tomorrow morning. I'm going to receive them that morning of. And that's some so many ways how we go about our journey. One of the things that God has continued to teach me and refine in me is that His mercies, they are new every morning. God gives me what I need every morning. And so I do not need to worry about tomorrow. Life, it's more than the material things of this world. You have a heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father who cares about you and for you. You gain nothing by worrying. You can ask for help with whatever you're facing. You have a heavenly Father who knows exactly what you need. And when you face the troubles of tomorrow, you will have received God's mercies that you need that very morning. So God tells us what not to do. Do not worry. He also tells us what to do. Verse 33, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. When Jesus says to seek God's kingdom, I think about how I have this throne in my heart. And I think about who is seated on the throne in my life. One of the songs that we sung, I couldn't help but just notice that title, King Jesus. See, in a kingdom, there's a king. Who will be that dominant king in your life? And our human, our sinful condition has so often has us place ourselves on that throne. And we need God's continual help to so that we would step off of that throne and to live by faith with Jesus as our Lord, to live with Jesus as our King. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, He is telling us to seek after allowing God to reign and to rule in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our relationships, in our nation, in our world. So Jesus said, seek first His kingdom. And He said, and His righteousness. When Jesus says to seek His righteousness, the first observation that I have is that it's God's righteousness that we are to seek. It's not my own. It's not a generic righteousness, but it's God's righteousness. Earlier in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, when He would tell His disciples, the crowds, that their righteousness, it needed to exceed that of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. See, righteousness, it's primarily an issue of the heart. The Pharisees, they were really good at following the letter of the law, at following the rules, but they missed the heart of the matter. They failed to clean the inside of the cup first. See, we are sinners. I am a sinner. God, He is holy and He is just. And God has declared that the wages of our sin is death, eternal death. There is no righteousness apart from God. What a great video. What a powerful video that was. All right, how Satan loves to bring these words of condemnation. And as I was watching and I was thinking, you know, whose voice am I listening to? Who am I going to listen to? And I'm reminded, and I think I need to listen to the living Word of God, Jesus. I need to listen to the written Word of God, the Bible. See, but God, right? But God intervened. I'm sinful. God, He's holy, He's just, and God has declared the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, but an eternal separation from the goodness, the kindness, the love of God. But God intervened. Jesus, he lived a sinless life. Jesus, he was crucified, taking our sins upon himself at the cross. And Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and death and Satan. And we are offered forgiveness. We are offered God's righteousness today if we turn away from our sin. And if we turn and follow after Jesus with a childlike faith and dependence upon him. And then as we do that, as we continue to seek God's righteousness by living our lives modeled after Jesus. It's part of why I think listening to Jesus is so critical. As we listen to Jesus, I learn how he treated others. We see his commitment to both grace and truth, and I can see how he lived that out. We seek God's righteousness by allowing Jesus to live out his life through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of Galatians 2, 20 and 21. It reminds us, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Do not worry. Life's more than the material. You have a Heavenly Father who cares for you. You don't gain anything through worrying. You can ask your Heavenly Father for help. He knows exactly what you need. He will provide his mercies to you when you face the troubles of today. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first God's righteousness. What is it this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to especially teach or remind you? For me this morning, it was especially just kind of that truth, the fact of how circumstances are always going to be changing. There's always going to be those troubles. And how easy it is for me to take those burdens and those weights and to try to, again, carry them myself. But I'm reminded of how God's truths do not change. Jesus, his message of do not worry, and the reasons that he gives is as needed for me today as it was any day in the past. What message from God is he speaking to you? Because he loves you. He desires what is best for you. He knows exactly what you need. What do you need to hear from our Lord today? And so let's be sure to be listening. To listen to the living Word of God, Jesus. To listen to the written Word of God, the Bible.